And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again. You've joined Lake Ridge Health's Telephone Town Hall. We're live with leaders from Lake Ridge Health who are here to tell us more about healthcare in Durham Region and to answer your questions. And I know we have several, and many of you actually, waiting to ask us those questions. Over the next hour, you'll hear about what's top of mind with all of us, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic, and how the hospitals are managing during this very challenging time. We're also here a bit about hospital services in Durham after the pandemic and some longer-term plans to expand and improve services in Durham Region. A big part of the next hour will be to hear your questions. So if you would like to speak to Lake Ridge Health tonight, you can join the queue by pressing *3 on your touchtone phone. Once again, *3 on your touchtone phone. Our screeners will get to you as soon as possible. We'll also be asking our listeners questions so Lake Ridge Health can better understand what is important to you. So please listen for instructions on answering our polling questions during the hour. So let me introduce our panel this evening, very distinguished guests. We will start with Lake Ridge Health's new CEO, Cynthia Davis. And I know our listeners are interested in learning more about Cindy and her plans for Lake Ridge Health, and we will speak with Cindy a little later. Chief of Staff, Dr. Tony Stone, and Dr. Robert Kyle, Medical Officer of Health for Durham Region Public Health, and of course, Dr. Dan Ricciuto, an infectious disease expert and a member of the team leading the COVID response at Lake Ridge Health. We have the A team here for you. Welcome to all of you. So if you're just joining us again, live at Lake Ridge Health's Telephone Town Hall on healthcare in Durham Region, and we'll start taking your questions very soon. Let me mention this one more time. If you do have a question, please press *3 on your touchtone phone. And as we wait for those calls to come in, Cindy, I think we should start with a welcome for and from you.
Thank you, Jerry. And really happy to be here tonight, and also want to extend my sincere appreciation and thanks to everybody who's joined us and listening this evening. Healthcare, we know, is really important to everybody, and particularly at this time during the pandemic. And we understand and take our responsibility around sharing information, particularly throughout the Durham region, as one that's very important to us. Tonight, we're hoping that listeners will call in. They'll ask questions to us, and hopefully we'll be able to answer their questions, and that together we can work collectively to ensure that our communities are safe and healthy. I also want to extend my thanks to Dr. Robert Kyle for joining us tonight. And one of the things that we've seen repeatedly throughout our region is how we've come together in partnerships to really work well together. And the fact that we're here tonight across agencies throughout the Durham region to really share a common message and support is, I think, a strong message to the community.
Cindy, I understand that you are the first female CEO for Lake Ridge Health and the first registered nurse in that role. Can you tell us a bit more about yourself and how you came to Lake Ridge Health?
Yeah, so I actually arrived in Lake Ridge on January the 4th. And as you mentioned, my background is in healthcare. I've worked in healthcare for more than 30 years. And I came during a pandemic, and people ask me what that's been like. And I would say that it's been interesting, but more importantly, I have learned very quickly the value-based system of our organization and of the Durham region, and it's very much around a sense of belonging and a sense of community, and that really inspires me, and certainly the witnesses that I have seen of the work and dedication both within Lake Ridge and within Durham Public Health has been one that is really inspiring, as I say.
Well, I want to pass along my congratulations to you, and I know that I believe it was actually during your first week here that you came on the radio with us, and, you know, we had a lot of questions for you, and you handled them very well, and, you know, now that it's been 4 months, is there anything that stands out to you, any impression that maybe of this area, and I know you mentioned some of the people you're working with and how great they all are, but anything else that you'd like to add?
So, you know, as I walk through our facilities and I meet our staff, what I get is an overwhelming sense of commitment and dedication. And people are working really hard behind the scenes to ensure that when patients show up at our door, that we're ready and able to care for them in the most appropriate ways. And that is a resounding theme throughout our organization. The other thing that I would say is, when we think about the partnerships, we've all rallied really around a common cause and purpose. And when we do that, we see that we can achieve a lot more together. And that's something that post-COVID, we want to make sure that we continue to support and foster.
Welcome again. Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome to all the people on the line who just dialed in. If you're just joining us, it's Lake Ridge Health's Telephone Town Hall. And I know that I think I've been here since the first one. It's always informative, always interesting, and we get to as many questions as we can. And we're having a conversation, of course, with Lake Ridge Health, taking your questions. Get your touchtone phone ready to ask a question. I can't say this enough. Press *3, and you'll get into the queue, and we will get to you as soon as possible. Right now, we'd like to speak with Dr. Tony Stone as Chief of Staff. Dr. Stone, welcome, and you're on the front lines of this pandemic, and we've had you on the radio from time to time. How are things going? What can you tell those that are listening right now about the situation?
Hey, Jerry. Thanks very much. You know, Jerry, the third wave is such a different experience for the community and for the hospital. And I think everybody knows we at the hospital go as the community goes. So, you know, Robert will tell us, I think Dr. Kyle, forgive me, will tell us a little more about, you know, the work the public health is doing, including the great data that they have on the website. But what we know for sure is the number of cases in Durham is significantly different now than it has been throughout the pandemic. And it's reflected in what ends up coming to the hospital. So the hospital volume of COVID patients has gone up substantially in the third wave. Our ICU admits, I think we, as of this morning, in the month of April, we had 52 new ICU admits with COVID. And I think in all of March, we had something like, I don't remember if it was 29 or something. And really what's happening is, if you look at, you know, we're doing a systems response here across Southern Ontario, in fact, across Ontario. And throughout the first wave and second wave, we were helping to support hard-hit areas in Toronto and taking patients. In fact, I think we took over 30 patients into Lake Ridge to help with the whole system's response. Now, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've actually transferred out over 40 patients with COVID, and like I said, over 30 of them are critically ill patients with COVID, mainly to Kingston, but to other hospitals in southeastern Ontario. Now, these are hospitals who are very skilled. But I guess what I'm getting at here is the intensity of COVID in Durham is significant. Mm-hmm. It's reflected in our the variants of concern have really changed the face of the pandemic. And something I didn't mention yet is the average age in our hospital has really come down significantly. Now, I have information that shows that we have a number of admits of folks who are being hospitalized in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. This, you know, so really things have shifted a lot, Jerry. And I think we'll be talking more about that. You know, what we're looking for is collectively as an entire region, we're all one family. It's about what do we have to do right now to flatten this curve. Both in terms of our individual behaviors and then in terms of going and getting the vaccine. So I think I'll probably stop there, Jerry.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you very much. We do have questions waiting. We will get to them. Cindy, I just wanted to come back to you for just a second. And how do you think Lake Ridge Health is responding to everything that Dr. Stone was talking about here?
Well, you know, Lake Ridge Health is responding exceptionally well to all of this, but I want to be clear that this is a system that is being challenged like it never has before, and none of us have experienced this. What we've seen is that our system and our staff and physicians are very reactive to what's happening and coming through our doors every day, but this is a challenging time, And so when Dr. Stone talks about we need community support, we really do, because when somebody arrives at our doorstep, we want to make sure that we've got the capacity and the staff to actually care safely for people in the Durham region. And how you can help support us with that is really following these public health guidelines, getting tested as quickly as possible if you're having symptoms, and when the queue arrives for you for your vaccine that you're out, and getting your vaccine as quickly as possible.
The other concern is the vaccine hesitancy, a big concern. How are we dealing with that?
So I know Dr. Dan Rizzuto is on the line, and he can probably talk about that as well as Dr. Kyle and Dr. Stone. What I would say is that we're trying really hard to share the scientific information around vaccine, both internally and externally. We understand that, you know, there is a sense of hesitancy in some groups, and we want to get the information out that's accurate and based on science, as opposed to some of the social media platforms that people might be getting that information.
Thank you, Cindy. I'd like to go now to Dr. Kyle. We'd like to hear from you, Dr. Kyle. Public health is leading the vaccine rollout. So maybe you could give our listeners an update on the rollout, how it's going, and your impressions of that.
Yeah, so thanks, Jerry. The vaccine rollout is in full swing. To date in Durham region, and excluding the pharmacy channel, we have administered over 160,000 doses of vaccine. We're doing this at eight mass immunization clinics, five in each of the southern municipalities operating 7 days a week, and three in the north operating on a rotating basis. We supplement this with a mobile strategy that up to now is focused on housebound elderly, as well as retirement residences, homes, and long-term care homes. Recently, we implemented a hotspot strategy in Ajax and Pickering. There's a fixed pop-up site located at the Ajax Community Center. It's by appointment only. And this is being supplemented by drop-by mobile clinics. Our first was held in Ajax earlier this week, and we have plans underway for sites in Ajax and Pickering. To fill in the blanks, I would urge your listeners to go to durham.ca/COVID cases, and there you can get stats on our vaccination efforts to date. And if they want information with respect to the vaccines themselves, including with respect to vaccine hesitancy, go to durham.ca/COVID vaccines. Lastly, Cindy talked about a partnership between Durham Public Health, Lake Ridge Health. I want to shout out to both of our respective teams, as well as our partners, the region, the municipalities, primary care, Central East Lynn. It really has been a team effort. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kyle, and all of you. We have a bunch of people standing by to ask questions. If you're in the queue, do not go anywhere. We will get to you. And if you want to be in the queue, press *3 on your touchtone phone. We'll get to Dr. Rizzuto a little bit later on as well. Very important information. I think now we're going to ask our polling question for this evening. And we would ask you to participate. So listen closely to your choices here. Here's your question. How many of our listeners have had or are planning to be vaccinated? How many of our listeners have had or planning to be vaccinated? If yes, press 1. If no, I will not get the vaccine, press 2. If you're undecided, press 3. Once again, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, I will not get the vaccine, or 3, you're still undecided. Just a reminder that, again, if you want to ask a question, *3 on your phone. If you're just joining us, welcome to Lake Ridge Health's Telephone Town Hall on healthcare in the Durham region, and we want to get to some questions as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, are we ready to go to phone calls now? Let's do that, because I know this is really where we want to get to here, the people that have the questions, and the information is all right here in front of us with the experts. So Here we go. We have Evelyn on the phone. Evelyn, welcome to our town hall this evening, and join us, and thank you for joining us. Please ask your question. Evelyn. Hopefully Evelyn is still there. Okay. We want to move on to another caller. Evelyn, one more chance for Evelyn. All right. Do we have William? William, are you there? Okay, we're 0 for 2 so far. Perhaps we're having some kind of technical issue here. We're asking you to press star 3 on your touchtone phone and hopefully put you in the queue. So we're waiting for either Evelyn or William. If you can hear me, Evelyn, go ahead and ask your question. All right. Obviously a technical problem here. And hopefully we can rectify that in just a second here. All right, let's try. Third time's a charm, I'm sure. Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am.
Yay. All right, Mary. Thank you. Welcome to our town hall. You have a question, and I believe Dr. Stone would probably be best to answer this one. So go ahead, Mary.
Well, I live in the Ajax area, and I know Greater Toronto has a big issue or problem with all the admissions for COVID. I wondered how the Ajax Pickering Hospital is managing with admissions for the COVID-19, and also how are our ICUs doing? Are they full, or what is happening in the whole situation there?
Sure. So thanks very much for your question. Ajax has, Pickering Hospital has been under a lot of pressure with this third wave. And so a few things have happened. And what we've had to do in across not just Lakeridge, but the whole system is curtail a lot of other activity. So I think folks might know already that we've had to ramp down and reduce our non-urgent, non-emergent surgical activity, ramp down other types of important services that are offered, like diagnostic imaging and other ambulatory care services. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because we need to create both the capacity and to find additional health human resources as we redeploy staff into the important effort in dealing with COVID. At Ajax, what we've done is we've opened up a number of medical units to treat COVID, and we've expanded the ICU capacity in Ajax. We've done the same in Oshawa, so that our total total ICU capacity as it stands today is 57 beds. We intend to be able to expand that further because we are expecting that this third wave will intensify in the next 2 to 3 weeks. When you ask how our ICUs are doing, if we didn't have the opportunity to transfer patients outside of Lakeridge, we would have been overflowing in our ICUs. So it is fortunate that we have this sort of systems response with all our regional hospital partners. And what I would say is, it's enabled us to prepare for the surge in the third wave that we're facing. So I think a lot has changed in order for us to create this capacity, and we're ready as ready as we can be, and we'll continue to respond.
Okay, thank you, Mary, for that great question. Let's keep going with our questions here from our listeners. Leslie is on the phone, and this one probably best directed to Dr. Kyle. Leslie, go ahead, ask your question. Leslie, are you there?
You know, Jerry, while we wait for the next caller, the one thing I forgot to mention, which is important to our Ajax and Pickering listeners, in fact, all of our Durham listeners, is one of the things that we've done is partnered also with Ontario Shores. Mm-hmm. And so we've transferred a number of patients from our our mental health inpatient unit in Ajax Pickering to Ontario Shores, where they'll get excellent care, but it has enabled us to open up an additional unit for COVID care.
Okay, great.
And, you know, Jerry, if I could also add, what we've heard from our staff and Dr. Stone and Kyle could speak more about the specifics is that when you walk through our intensive care units, the demographics of who are in those beds during this wave is very different than what we had seen before. So people that are presenting both to our emergency department and then going on to be admitted in our intensive care units are much younger than they were in the initial waves and the types of care that we were providing. And so, you know, we can talk about how this has changed and how our response really has then been different during this wave for sure internally.
How much of that is foreseeable when you go through a situation like this? You go from a certain age group in the beginning, and then it starts getting younger and younger. Is that as a result of the variants of concern?
Actually, it is a significant factor is the fact that about how we're vaccinating our population. You know, we appropriately, as a community in Ontario, we're trying to vaccinate the most vulnerable first. Everyone is familiar with what happened in wave one. It was really catastrophic. And so what's happening is as we get, you know, most of the vaccine at the beginning, and Robert could speak to this much better than me, and maybe we should hand it to Robert, is really started, it was age-based and other vulnerable groups. But that actually has been a big part of the shift where we know that the vaccines work, and maybe that's the key message here. The vaccines work, and they've had a huge impact in reducing the burden of illness in our vulnerable seniors.
Okay.
So I don't know if, Robert, you wanted to add anything.
No, I would agree with that. In addition to vaccinating residents, staff, essential caregivers related to long-term care homes and retirement homes, we've seen a dramatic reduction in institutional outbreaks and in COVID cases, particularly in residents. In addition to that, we have very good coverage of 80-year-old plus in the community, and so we're seeing fewer illness in that population. And of course, our priority has been protecting healthcare workers, medical first responders, and so forth. And lastly, I really should shout out to our paramedics. They really have been on the ground with respect to assisting us with testing, with respect to immunizing, and they're helping out with the transport of patients from Lake Ridge Health, say, to destinations outside,
right,
as the system as a whole responds to this surge in hospitalizations as well as ICU admissions.
Thank you, Dr. Kyle. Let's try another caller, Jim. Hopefully Jim is there. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Hey, Jim, we have a question you'd like to ask, and Cindy, maybe you could address this question. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you very much. I was curious to know, I have heard and I've read in the papers that Whitby is considering having a new hospital, and it might go up in Brooklyn. Who knows yet where it's going to be? But I wondered if there was a member of your panel that could enlighten us, all of your listeners, as to how that is going, what the process is, and if it's on its way, or how is it going? Do any of your panel members know anything about it, and could they enlighten us about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for the question. So what we've talked about is that we absolutely have a plan for Durham Region, and we expect a significant growth over the next 20 years throughout our region, and there's a plan that we have that talks about redevelopment at some of our sites as well as the potential for a new hospital in the Durham region. You probably have heard recently in the news, we've talked about the success of the Bowmanville Hospital and really the significant support both provincially and through the municipalities in terms of the commitment for funds to support that redevelopment, $37.5 million actually, the Durham region has committed to that. And we're really excited about that piece. Over this past year, you know, March the 11th marked the 1 year of the pandemic, and all of our efforts really have been around that pandemic focus. And what I say to people, it absolutely is the right place for us to be, and our communities want us to be focused on that. But we're also cognizant of the fact that we do need to plan for our future, and we're continuing to have those discussions, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you. Great question, and thank you, Cindy, for the answer. I'd like to squeeze in one more question before we go over and speak with Dan Ricciuto and review our polling question here. It's from Chuck. Chuck, if you're on the phone, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, I am still here. Thank you very much. I've got the message just listening in that you've obviously canceled some elective surgeries and you're having to continue that, I suppose. A follow-up question to that, if you are canceling elective surgeries and what they call essential, non-essential, are you still doing abortions?
So what I will tell you is that that particular service hasn't been offered at Lakeridge. If I could talk about the things that we have ramped down, and it's really important because, you know, we continue to do cases that are emergencies, and we continue to do the urgent surgeries, including cancer surgeries, by the way. The things that we will be ramping down are also very important. You know, things like hip replacements and knee replacements, and a number of other procedures like that we, you know, the community depends on us to support. So we, you know, what will happen is you can certainly contact your health provider, but those will be postponed. And as soon as we can get on top of this wave, you know, we will start to reopen that activity as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Strong.
And if I could just add as well, the decision around ramping down and delaying some of these surgeries are ones that we don't make lightly. And, you know, we're doing that to really free up capacity in terms of the beds in our hospitals, and also to ensure that we have staff that can be assigned to those beds to care for people. Once we hopefully come out of the wave three, we'll start to quickly look at how we can get these procedures back online, because we understand people have, in some cases, waited for a significant period to actually have these things done.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Let me just revisit the poll question one more time really quickly, then we'll get to Dr. Dan Ricciuto. Now, here is your question. Have you already or are you planning to be vaccinated? If you are, press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, I will not get the vaccine, or press 3 if you're undecided. So 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 if you're undecided. We're going to try to get to as many questions as we can. At this time, though, we would like to welcome another guest, Dr. Dan Ricciuto, who leads Lakeridge Health's Infection Control Team. And Dr. Ricciuto, first of all, welcome to our town hall. And how would you respond to any of our callers who are maybe hesitant about getting the vaccine?
Hi, thanks. And thanks for having me this evening and for everyone for joining in. So I might just speak partially with my background as an infection control specialist and infectious disease physician, with a background in immunology, but also as a Durham resident. I did grow up in Oshawa and live in Port Perry, and I have three kids and a family and elderly parents. And so I'll maybe just speak about why vaccination against COVID is so important with that lens. So there's a few reasons why I was vaccinated as soon as I was able to be vaccinated. First and foremost, one of the reasons is because I take care of sick and vulnerable patients. And as a physician, you know, I made an oath not to do any harm. And by being vaccinated, we can protect not only ourselves, but also those around us. And on that note, it's not just my patients, but my family. As I mentioned, I have elderly patients, elderly parents. And we know that with COVID especially, the risk in those that are older is much higher for hospitalization, death, and more severe illness. And certainly, I think that it's almost a duty to protect those around me, including my family members. You know, the other part of this is that really I'm tired of this pandemic, as I'm sure everyone else is. And by being vaccinated, we can really help to develop this community immunity, or herd immunity, as you've heard it before. But community immunity means that if enough people get vaccinated, the virus has a very difficult time of spreading, and it becomes much less easy for the virus to lead to outbreaks. And we're seeing that in real life. Since we vaccinated the long-term care facilities and retirement homes, for instance, we saw a dramatic decrease in the number of cases, the number of deaths, more than 95% decrease across those facilities, which was incredible. And I think we can do that overall on a community, across the Durham community, and ensure that we're not dealing with this virus for too much longer. And I think the last thing, that even as someone in my early 40s, there is a significant risk personally for COVID-19. You know, the risk for hospitalization is fairly significant, probably about 0.5%, and ICU stay is less than that. But as a practicing infectious disease physician, I've seen a number of younger patients now who have had significant ongoing symptoms from COVID, or post-COVID syndrome, or long COVID. There's different names for it. But it's probably about 10% of people still having significant symptoms for weeks and even months, many months after having COVID, which limits their life, their quality of life, and their ability to work, for instance. So those are the reasons I've been vaccinated. And I may just speak about two other pieces here, where when I speak to people, there's still concerns. So one concern is, are the vaccines safe? And I would say absolutely, they are incredibly safe. We've almost vaccinated 1 billion people in the world thus far. There is more data on safety with these vaccines than any other vaccine that we know about, at least in this short period of time. And other than some common mild side effects, such as sore arm and muscle aches after the vaccinations, which are fairly common, severe reactions are very rare. And I know that there's been some frightening media, for instance, speaking about the AstraZeneca vaccine with the risk of blood clots, for instance. But if we put this into context, if you weigh it against the risk of COVID, those risks are incredibly low. So if the risk of blood clots, for instance, is about 1 in 100,000 with AstraZeneca, if you get COVID, the risk is actually 8 times higher for the same types of blood clots. And so taking the vaccine clearly would prevent significantly more when you frame it that way. Furthermore, the number of ICU admissions, for instance, or deaths prevented by the vaccine far outweigh any of these more severe reported side effects, including allergic reactions. So that is, I think, an important piece. And the last thing that I'll just leave on is the effectiveness of the vaccines. These are remarkably effective. Honestly, we've been very lucky that the vaccines have come forward with such high levels of efficacy. You know, with the mRNA vaccines, around 90 to 95% effective, depending on the population, after a couple of doses. And with the other vaccines, such as the adenovirus vaccines, which is AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson, being around 80 to 85% effective overall, and probably having higher protection against severe illness. This is actually quite remarkable. There's not that many vaccines that are this effective. And so I think we need to take advantage of that. So I hope that sums up some of the thoughts that I've been having and the reasons why I have been vaccinated. And, you know, I hope to encourage others to be vaccinated as well in Durham.
Thank you, Dr. Ricciuto, and I can add my name to that list too. I've taken the AstraZeneca, and my wife has, so we feel very confident, and we trust science, and we trust the medical profession such as yourself and all of our panel here today. We'd like to continue on with the questions, if that's okay with our panel, because it's such a different time, and so many people have so many questions. So let's just move right over to the questions right now. A little bit later on, we'll reveal the answers for our poll question. So we have Ferd on the phone, and Ferd, if you have your question ready, go ahead. Hello, Ferd, one more time. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Ferd.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm 51 years old, live in Curtis. My parents are residents here in Curtis, and they both got the Pfizer vaccine. I'm quite eager, contacted my Curtis pharmacy, was told that there was a 600-person wait list, and that all the vaccines, they're out, and they don't expect an order for quite some time because they're servicing the hotspots in Ajax and Pickering. I would more than be willing to wait, you know, and then eventually get the Pfizer, but I'd like to be able to get the AstraZeneca because getting a vaccine, and any vaccine, is better than no vaccine. But my question has to do with advocacy and what we can do as engaged citizens. Who do we need to talk to put pressure on getting more vaccines to Durham Region? That's my question.
Thank you, Ferd.
Yeah, so is it Ferd?
Ferd, yes. Yes. Dr. Kyle will answer that
question. Yeah, so Ferd, I'm not sure there is a simple answer to that. I can tell you that at the tables that I sit at, and I'm sure the same with Tony and Cindy, we advocate for our fair share in Durham Region for vaccine supply. Unfortunately, we are reliant on the federal government. I'm not trying to pass the buck here, but we are reliant on the federal government, who then distributes vaccine to the provinces. I do know that as America becomes vaccinated at the highest levels, they're looking at getting additional supplies from the United States that may be a surplus. And we are expecting additional vaccine supplies in Canada and in Ontario, but probably not until May at the earliest. So I can assure you we advocate at the tables we sit at with respect to our fair share in Durham Region. We are going through a bit of a slow period right now. I should say that the Pfizer vaccine has been rock steady. I think because Moderna is being made by perhaps a newer manufacturer that's having difficulty scaling up, it is less reliable. We are receiving AZ vaccine, and Janssen is down the road. So my hope is certainly by the end of May, early June, we will have far more robust supplies and less hope sooner than that. So I think that's the best that we can do, and it really is a Canada-wide problem as opposed to just strictly a Durham Region problem.
Thank you, Dr. Kyle. Let's move right on to Gregory. Gregory, if you're on the line, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, hello. Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, couple of questions. I just wanted to find out when is it possible to get the age group between 30 and 40 to get the Pfizer vaccine? I must say that both my wife and I were very happy about getting ours about a month ago at the Pickering location, and you know, we have no problems with that. And my daughter, who is a diabetic one, would prefer to get the Pfizer one. And as I said, she's in the 30 to 40 bracket and would just like to have some idea when that could be possible for her. The other follow-up question I just have is that, not a question really, kind of a statement. I'm hearing, you know, many people talking about this type of vaccine could possibly become a yearly thing, and I just hope that, and I'm sure that the professional people, the health people in Durham region, and indeed all of Ontario, would react to getting, you know, being on board or getting their oar in the water, so to speak, to get supplies when that starts to happen, because, you know, it just makes sense. Anyway, that's my comment.
So is it Jerry?
Gregory.
Gregory. So thanks, Greg, for your question. Because we have limited vaccine supply, what's driving who can get vaccine is what condition you have, what your age is, and where you live. With respect to gates being opened, say at mass immunization clinics, perhaps at the primary care and pharmacy channels, you should expect age groups to lower by about 5 years in a progressive fashion, probably on a weekly or two-weekly basis as vaccine supply becomes available. So it's not going to be overnight. It's probably going to be several weeks away. But in addition to age as a risk factor for COVID-19, you have quite a range of very high and at-risk conditions, which do include individuals who have lower ages. And then there's the whole issue of essential workers and where you live. So unfortunately, the demand is huge. The supply is not robust at this point in time, but we hope it will get better. So, Greg, you'll have to be patient as we get through this, and the hope is that certainly by the end of the summer, I know it's not soon enough, we will certainly be at much lower age groups as we've got through all of these priority groups, as we've got through second doses, so that we can get at these lower age groups. I think Dr. Stone had a comment as well.
Well, actually, I was just going to maybe turn it over to Dan to just spend just 30 seconds telling folks about, you know, the possibility of boosters in the future. That was the second piece of Greg's commentary. Dan, did you want to just comment on that briefly?
Yeah, sure. And just to comment on Gregory's question about diabetes specifically and his daughter. I mean, it is one of the at-risk health conditions that is listed for prioritization. It's a little bit lower than some of the higher risk groups, but I would say that, you know, if you keep checking, as Dr. Kyle has mentioned, that condition would pop up eligible sooner than someone without the condition at the same age. So I think you're correct, Gregory, in that there likely will be at least another round of vaccines to try and better cover some of these variants of the virus, which I'm sure you've all heard about. Some of these likely can at least partially evade the vaccine. Maybe not for everyone, but the vaccine probably doesn't work quite as well for a couple of these variants that are circulating. Fortunately, in Ontario and in most of Canada right now, over 90% of all the strains circulating are covered very well by the vaccines that we have available. But a number of the companies, including Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax, all have new versions of their vaccine already in the works, and they're starting trials to ensure that the vaccines are safe and that they do work against these novel variants. My hope is that this won't be an annual thing, but I suspect that we should be ready for at least another booster shot, down the road, probably in the fall or the winter, is my guess.
Thank you, Dr. Ricciuto. I would like to continue on with our questions, if we could, for our panel here. We have Caroline, if you're standing by. Caroline, thank you for being patient. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hello, and thank you for answering our questions. I have I am a senior, and I live by the senior residence across from the Memorial Park. Where do I go to obtain a vaccine needle if there's one available? I hear what I'm hearing is there's a shortage.
Well, so I'm sorry, what was your first name? Caroline?
Caroline.
Yeah. Caroline, as a senior, you absolutely are eligible. And I think what we would want to make sure is that you had assistance to get connected for your vaccine. And I think that there are two ways, depending on if you have access to internet and a computer. There's a way through the Roll Up Your Sleeves website that the region has. I'll ask Dr. Kyle to speak in a second. But there's also a phone number you can use to get folks to help you do your booking. So I just want to make sure that, you know, for you and all listeners on tonight's call, that there's two paths here. Of course, even there are other paths. But Robert, do you want to just speak to that briefly?
Yeah, so if you are tech savvy and you are online, Caroline, then as I said, to get information as to where you fit in terms of your priority, durham.ca/COVID vaccines, all one word. And if you want to book an appointment or get help and go to the call center, you go to durham.ca/vaccine appointments. And that's where you'll get the information. And hopefully that will point you in the right direction. And if you aren't tech savvy, if you phone the region or phone Lake Ridge Health, they will provide you with assistance and in particular give you the phone numbers. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it's readily available through the appropriate call centers.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, doctors. We have an online question Wendy wanted to ask, and it's one that's been asked by a lot of people. How effective are the surgical masks that leave huge gaps on either side of your face? We could ask Dr. Dan Ricciuto. Dan, doctor, maybe you can answer that question.
Yeah, sure. So I think masks in general, we've learned through this pandemic, they are effective, but there's varying levels of effectiveness depending on the type of mask that you use and also how you wear them. And so in this case, when you have a surgical mask on, but there are large gaps around the mask, then it's going to limit some of the effectiveness that it has on preventing you from inhaling any virus particles. It may still help prevent any, so if you are infected, it may offer some source control, meaning that any viral particles coming out of, or droplets coming out of your mouth do get blocked, but maybe not as well as if the mask fits. So just a couple of comments on the types of masks that should be used and how to use them. The best masks are three-ply masks. They can be either two-layer cotton or synthetic fibers with a inner filter layer, or they can be the medical type masks. And they really do need to have a good fit around the nose, around the cheeks, around the chin. It doesn't help if you wear the mask down below the chin or pull it down to speak, and at the same time, there's some others that just don't offer the same level of protection. And this would be it's some of these one-layer masks pull-ups. Like neckwear. So that would be the advice there. There are a couple of good Canadian companies that I've seen that have popped up that sell these masks online that are very high quality. I'm sure you can find them now. They're quite readily available.
Thank you, Dr. Ricciuto. Maybe you could answer this one as well. We're trying to prioritize the questions as best we can. So we have Carol on the line right now. Carol, go ahead and ask your question for Dr. Ricciuto. Hi, Carol, are you there? Okay. While we're waiting for our next call, we have a bunch lined up in queue. Thank you very much. I wanted to really quickly get to our poll, and this is maybe a very encouraging result for our poll question. How many of our listeners have had or are planning to be vaccinated? 91% say yes. Either they have or are planning to. That's very encouraging. Only 3% said no. So there are 6% undecided. So even if a small portion of those people, decide to get the vaccination, it looks like we're probably in pretty good shape. Maybe if one of you want to touch on that and how effective that is when it's that high.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just comment briefly, Jerry, because I know we want to get to other questions.
Yep.
That's actually very, very good news for us as a community here in Durham. Folks, I remember several months ago when we had this question, and the folks who were committed to vaccine back then was around 60%, and then there was about another 30% who were hesitant. To see that the numbers have shifted that much is just so encouraging. So we say thanks to all of to our listeners. And to the 6% who really are still wondering, and maybe even the 3% who say no, really encourage you to contact your health provider, someone you trust who has an understanding of the vaccine. Talk to them because, you know, we want you to make a really well-informed decision. And I think they can help you with it. So that's what I'll say, Jerry.
Excellent. Teresa, if you're there, go ahead and ask your question. Teresa?
Being a grandmother, we've been vaccinated, myself, my husband, my two girls who have children, their husbands. Mother's Day is coming up. And all the adults have been vaccinated, and we'll make sure that it's at least 2 weeks since we've been vaccinated. The kids have not seen any other children since Easter. Can we get together outside in the yard maybe for a Mother's Day?
So this is a social gathering limit question, and off the top of my head, if you live in the same household, and I think the gathering limit is 5, so if you live in the same household and it's 5 or fewer, then it's okay to go. But if it is extended family or folks who don't live in the same household, the recommendation, in fact, the limit is to not gather because it's too risky, and those are the rules that are in place at this point in time. So, unfortunately, in public health, we tell you what you don't want to hear, and we tell you to do what you don't want to do, and this is one of these instances. So
yeah.
So thanks for the question.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great answer. And, you know, as always, I think the medical professionals will go with what the recommendations are, and that's what we have to stick by, of course. But that's a great question. Thank you. So I think that brings us almost to the end of our evening, and I wish we had more time to get to more questions. They've been really good questions. I think all of you could agree, all of our panel, including Dr. Ricciuto, who's back at home. Thank you all for being here. Perhaps I'll leave it up to Cindy and Tony to maybe give our final comments here this evening.
Thank you, Jerry. And I want to thank all the listeners for joining us tonight. And, you know, as you say, there's absolute interest in working in partnership with us. And the response that we have from so many people calling in. We're committed to working really hard to protect the health in our community, and we're also really committed to making sure we get information out. So we'll stay connected, and we'll use regular channels to share as much information as possible. If I can say one more thing, it's We need you to stay vigilant. We know that this has been long and hard on many people, but now is not the time to let down your guard. We really need you to get vaccinated and to get tested if you're having symptoms.
And it's not just the physical aspect of it. This has led to some, you know, mental health issues as well, which is, you know, a different topic to cover. But Dr. Stone, anything else you'd like to add to that?
Only one thing, Jerry, and it's thank you. You know, we've been doing these town halls together for some time, and we so much appreciate you and your participation and support of this. We're all in this together as a whole region, and we want to thank you.
It's my pleasure. And Dr. Kyle, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much. I don't have much to add other than take care, stay well, and be kind.
And a thanks to Dr. Rusciutto, who is listening in as well. Very informative and great information. Dr. Rusciutto, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
I look forward, actually, to the next one that we do, and really I look forward to the next time we can do one and not have to mention COVID-19, which is how we started with this, Dr. Stone, you know, before this happened. And one day we will get there, and if it's basically following the recommendations of your doctor and of the health professionals and people like you, thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who tuned in tonight for our Lake Ridge Health Town Hall. And keep watching social media and other things for announcements on the next one. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good night and stay safe.